Parshas Bahar begins with Shemitah. Shemitah in Yovel. Including the Chisoma, if you're going to say, Ma Nocho, what are we going to eat? And the Pasuk promises us, Vitzivisi as Birchasi. Hashem promises a miracle. We've experienced this in Eretz Yisrael, even though Shemitah in this day and age is midrabbanan. The places that observe Shemitah every time around, they've found themselves with a bumper crop. At times when the rest of the country was experiencing drought, it rained where they were keeping Shemitah. This is one of those areas where Hashem promises an open miracle. It's still a nisayon though. It's still very difficult for a farmer to sit there and just not do a thing. For a full year. Knowing that his livelihood depends on it. He's a farmer. That's what he does for a living. It's an exercise in bitachon. Shemitah is an expression of bitachon with a promise. The Torah then goes on and gives us the halachas of sale of homes, of estates in Eretz Yisrael. Halacha is where you buy something, you buy a piece of property. But the seller could have a year's option of buying it back. It's some way to do business. There we get two messages. One, the idea that real estate in Eretz Yisrael is not really supposed to be a business. The land in Eretz Yisrael is meant for people to live in. Eretz Yisrael is made for living on. When someone has to sell his field, someone's got to sell his property, he's parting from something that is a spiritual connection between it and himself. It's his peace in Eretz Yisrael. He sells it because he needs cash. The assumption is that a Jew doesn't sell his property in Eretz Yisrael unless he's got to. So he's got a year to buy it back. In the walled cities of Eretz Yisrael, so once again, people doing business here. Here you are, you're investing your money, and it may just be that your money sat there doing nothing. We have the parsha of ribis, the prohibition of interest. A Jew cannot take interest from another Jew. Today, the world really lives on the money market. The world economy depends on the price of money. What do I have to pay for capital in order to go and make money out of it? The price of money, of course, determines whether or not your business is going to bring you anything. If you make less than what it costs you to get hold of money, then you're not in business. The world economy today rests on interest. The most important thing to anyone watching the news, if he's in business, interest rates. The Jewish economy, when you're dealing with Jews, is not supposed to include that element at all. No such thing. Ribbis is a very interesting sugya. It's a very interesting parsha. On the one hand, the Gemara refers to it as gezel. It's a form of stealing. Yet, even though we cannot steal from non-Jews, we can and should charge them interest. I can rent out my house, I can rent out my car, I can rent out my cow, I can't rent out my money, and if I do, I'm called having stolen, but from a goy not. When it comes to a non-Jew, no such thing. Am I stealing? Am I not stealing? It is obviously a new form of gezel. It is not theft. Because the Torah says that we owe it to our fellow Jew to be there for him when he needs money, lend him the money in his time of need, the Torah has given him a certain kind of right. And by charging him for it, I'm stealing. It's not theft. Besides, he agreed to it. The Gemara points this out. He agreed to it. It is only because it was prohibited in the first place that it becomes some level of theft. It is a gezel of ribbis. Causing a Jew to pay for money when the Torah feels that we're all in this together and he shouldn't, that becomes something of a gezel. By the way, there are different opinions of how far it goes, at what point we call this gezel, at what point not. For example, the essential sugya where they all discuss it is what happens. What happens if after you charge the man interest and he paid? So now it's time to do tshuva. You want to pay him back. If he's mochel you, is that good enough or not? Does mechila help or not? Three different opinions depending when. The issue is, are we dealing with something that is stealing or are we dealing with something that is not? The Shulchan Aruch does not place the halachas of ribbis in choshen mishpat with monetary law. It puts it in Yoredeya, together with the kosher and non-kosher foods. Even though the Gemara is calling it some form of gezel, it is only gezel within the framework of something that the Torah has prohibited because we're Jews. So how do you do business without interest? You have money sitting around and nothing to do with it? People that have money sitting around will invest it. Someone else wants to borrow it. You're losing. Bitochen. The parsha is going through bitochen. And then to the other side. The halachas of onah, where the Torah says that you are not to cheat. Don't trick people. Don't be dishonest in business. Don't overcharge. Don't underpay. You know, if the goal in business is to make money, then anything goes. The goal in business is to make money. So you do whatever you can to make money. Oh, but there are laws? Okay, well, it depends on whether or not you'll get caught. In halacha, there are many rules that were set up by the Chachamim, by Chazal. The laws of protecting the parnasa of the inhabitants of your city. giving precedence to the local merchants over strangers. The concept of chain stores in different cities, certainly, if you're talking about having your stuff all over the world, that will work when you're dealing with non-Jews. When you're dealing with Jews, unless you're local, the city is allowed to make rules saying that they can't buy from you until they first buy from the locals. The purpose of work, the purpose of doing business, is so Jews should have parnassa. Parnassa, that's it. Making money is not an end. Parnassa is a means. No one's looking to get rich. We'd rather that the locals make a decent living. But it would be so much cheaper if everything will be department stores and chains all over the place. Prices are going to come down. Yeah, and some people are going to get very rich and some people are going to be very poor. So we're all sharing the burden. Al Pidin, we have to spend more money. We know that what we're paying is more than what we would be paying. If you can have larger companies, sounds primitive, unsophisticated. Why are we doing this? What's for the good of the consumer? The consumer is one piece of the equation. Because every consumer is also the man in business. We want to see to it that everyone's got. We'll do our share, they'll do their share. Today, in this day and age, a small business is a very difficult thing to keep going. You get swallowed up. So you got some people making a lot of money and other people with the headaches. It's a combination of bitochen and values. What do you live for? When it comes to parnasa, we talk of being mistapik b'muit. Be satisfied. Don't have aspirations. Tell a Jew not to have aspirations. We don't accept being mediocre in anything. Whatever we're into. Even a Jewish criminal. Whatever you're in, we got to be the best. Part of the Jewish personality is that you never allow yourself to accept mediocrity in anything. This is such a nisoyin for the Jew to go and say, you know something? I'll remain the local grocer, sell my herring, nothing bigger. It's an nisoyin indeed. Of course, it's based on bitochen, because selling herring will not always put bread on the table. And above all, it's a matter of goals. We are not mistapek b'muit. We are not satisfied with a bit when it comes to ruchnias. Parshas Bahar sets up the economy for Klal Yisrael in terms of the agriculture, in terms of real estate, in terms of business. The laws are here. It's not in Parshas Mishpatim. It's not It's not in Parshas Mishpatim with monetary law. It's in Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra, Korbonis, Tumin, Tara. Even the Bein Adam Lachavero here is much more on a holy level than one of judgment. Jurisprudence is in Mishpatim. Love thy neighbor is in Kedosha. The economy is here. The economy, agriculture, all of that is here. That is its place. The Jew has to understand what it's all about. The economy within Klal Yisrael is set up in a way that the Jew knows without any question whatsoever what he does live for and what he doesn't live for. And the halachas are such. When the state was first declared, so there was talk, there was a movement among Orthodox Jews to try to present to the government economic law, rules for running the economy, based on halacha. Rav Unterman wrote a whole sefer on it. Even before him, there was even a better one. Herzog wrote even a... Just the world economy was a bit different in his day. They were all trying to come up with ways of running things. It didn't go over very well. Today, when a Jew does business, especially when it comes to the laws of interest, a Jew in business, if he's going to ask Shilas, the question he's going to ask himself is, when do I need a heter iska and when not? Heter iska, which takes interest and translates that into an investment with a return and states that even though the contract called it interest, I didn't really mean that. We're living within an economy that works a certain way. And we're trying to fit it into halacha. So you got to come up with all kinds of answers. Similarly, with all the writings, there were ways of reconciling two differing ideas. Hashem's way of running a business and the way the world runs. And the answer... Yeah, there was an answer for every so-called problem. But people who are looking to run a sane, efficient, streamlined system had a hard time with it. The problem is not ironing out the details. The problem is appreciating the goals. I don't know how much experience you have in getting into business law and halacha. I don't know how much business you people are involved in. This institution is not encouraging you to be involved in that. I don't know. I don't know what you're aware of, what you know, what you don't know. There's almost a parallel situation when it comes to halacha in science, halacha in technology, where people ask the question, how can we make the two work? You got this trick and you got that trick. So sometimes the tricks are great. Hashem built things into nature whereby we can actually do things within the framework of halacha that are fine. In most cases, Even though there's a technological answer, the problem is a matter of an attitude. There's a certain sefer that writes that the halachas of Shemitah and many of the halachas in this week's parsha will not apply when Mashiach comes. Because they only applied when Jews were essentially in agriculture. Today the world is business and Jews will once again be in business. And these things don't work. I remember when I was in the yeshiva back in Chutz Laaretz, when the sefer arrived in the yeshiva. It's a fairly well-known sefer. The mashgiach had it taken off the bookshelves. Said it's apikorsis. I mean, the general idea of saying that things won't apply to us at level because the world has changed, it's a bold statement. The issue is the attitude. Halacha doesn't present problems that have to be solved by whether it be technology or heterim. Halacha doesn't present problems. If halacha presents a problem, that means you've got one set of goals, halacha has another, and they're colliding. So you're going to look for some way to circumvent the issue and fulfill both goals. Yeah, and Klal Yisrael is creative, and we've come up with our heteriskas, we've come up with answers to all kinds of things. Yes, we have Shabbos elevators. Sure, we have all kinds of things. But the underlying question we have to ask ourselves is, why do I see halacha as creating problems? Why don't I come to Hashem and say, Hashem, you created this world. You created it in a way that it functions perfectly. What is it that you want from me in the first place? It could not be that Hashem created the world in a way that there are problems. That in order to exist, we have to find ways out. If Hashem created the world in a certain way, then before anything, we have to ask ourselves, what does He want of us? If He tells us that 39 malachas are prohibited on Shabbos, then maybe He doesn't want us to spend our Shabbos with technology. Maybe our homes, at least once a week, should be simple. Maybe. Certainly, when it comes to business, yes, you can use a heter iska. But does Hashem really want me to do business in that way? So if I'm part of a society that has set up rules and I don't have a choice, and they will charge interest if I'm late for my bills, and the bank is going to either charge or give interest, and I'm part of it, all right, I guess that's what the heterim are all about. But certainly when I structure what I'm doing in life, I should not be living in a way that my whole life is one big heter, making a living through heter. We do not have two sets of goals. We have one. Commerce is understood within the framework of Sefer Vayikra. The same Sefer that teaches us Tuma Vitara. A whole other dimension of life that we have a hard time trying to understand. It's trying to give us a consciousness of something deeper, something finer. Something that is Tohor. That same Torah tells us how to do business. The issue is not heter. The issue is why do business. The issue is what are your goals? Your goals are all right? Relax. No one promises you'll be rich. But Hashem promises you'll be all right. And that's where the bitachon comes in. I think in this day and age, more than anything else, the message of Parshas Bahar is don't set your own goals and then fit them in. Understand that the Torah has given a place for every aspect of life. You don't decide how you want to live and then find a way of fitting it into halacha. Halacha tells us what we live for. Halacha tells us how to conduct ourselves. Halacha is not the system that is calling for Jews to look for creative ways of getting around Hashem's goals. It could be that I'm wasting my time because you're not faced with these issues. Maybe not today. But when you get into the big world, it's very tempting and very confusing. Right now, the dorm is not that sophisticated for the issue to be technology on Shabbos. For those of you who have homes, I don't know what the lifestyle is like and how much that plays a role. I don't know how many of you are involved in business on any level. But the truth is, this is a general disease of people setting their own goals and then seeing how they can fit into halacha. We have whole communities that live like that and compromise on halacha because of it. And then you have Jews that won't compromise on halacha. But all of life becomes a heter. A heter for this and a heter for that. I was once speaking to a higher up in the Rabbanut about a particular product that had a Rabbanut heksher. So I asked him honestly, is this kosher? So he tells me. Our conclusion was that it's kosher. But we had 2 pages of shilas that we had to find heterim for. You probably don't want to eat that. The idea where first you make the product and find some way of making it mutter, that's not what kashrus is all about. Kashrus means Hashem wants to set up a certain lifestyle. Kashrus is not finding heterim. Sure, there are rules. What happens if an accident happens? There's a very big difference between what happens if an accident takes place versus how you set things up l'chatchila. If all your life is one big collection of heterim, so what are you living for? Obviously something else. You just don't want to get in trouble with Hashem. So you look for heterim. No. Our goals and our priorities are set by halacha. Be it in what we eat, be it in what we do for entertainment, including if and when, including business. And I'll even go as far as saying, there's Hilchas Talmud Torah. Torah isn't Hefker either. Sometimes people have their own personal goals in Torah. And they forgot to check whether or not Hashem is into that. That's a more pleasant disease. We ask Hashem to show us the way. We don't choose the way first and then find a way that we're not going to get on Hashem's nerves in the process. Life is not heteri. We're not looking for what's mutter. We're looking for Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoal Mimcha. What is it that Hashem wants of us in the first place?